Welcome back to Cyber Mornings Daily. It's great to have you starting your day with us again.
Morning.
So today we've got three pretty compelling stories that have popped up on the cybersecurity radar.
Yeah, quite a mix.
We thought we'd kind of unpack them, you know, pull out the important bits, talk about the tech details you should probably be aware of.
And why it actually matters, right?
Yeah.
How it impacts how we try to stay secure online.
Exactly. It's all about context.
Could agree more.
Yeah.
It really shows how things are always changing. You get these vulnerabilities sometimes where you least expect them.
And the fallout when things go wrong? Well, it can be pretty significant.
Very real.
Yeah.
So should we jump into the first one? It's got a bit of a interesting trajectory.
Let's do it. So, okay, this Microsoft NTLM thing. NTLM is like one way your computer proves who it is on a network, right?
Right. Network authentication.
So a vulnerability was found CVE-2025-24054. But initially, it wasn't like red alert status. Pretty low priority.
Yeah, that happens. Sometimes they seem minor on paper.
But guess what? It's now being actively exploited, like really used by attackers out there. It's kind of like that ignored warning light on the dashboard suddenly flashing like crazy.
A good analogy.
Mm-hmm.
And what's interesting is who seems to be getting hit first. Checkpoint researchers spotted these attacks starting around March 19th.
Okay.
And the targets so far, government and contractor companies, specifically in Poland and Romania.
Specific. But that doesn't mean everyone else can relax, does it?
Not at all. That's the thing. Once an exploit is proven to work and it's in the wild, you can bet other attackers are going to pick it up.
It becomes another tool in their toolkit.
Exactly. It's like it just got listed on the dark web new arrivals section.
Okay, so not great. What does the exploit actually do? It leads to leaked NTLM hashes. What does that mean for, you know, a regular user or a company?
So think of the hash as a scramble password. If attackers intercept these hashes while they're being sent across the network.
Like eavesdropping.
Precisely. If they grab those, they might be able to eventually unscramble them, crack them, and get the actual password. Now, cracking loads of them quickly is hard.
It takes a lot of computer power.
Right. But for a targeted attack, where they're focused on one or two accounts and have time, it's definitely feasible. And if they get those passwords,
they can log in as that user.
Potentially, yeah. And depending on what that user has access to, it could open up a lot more of the network.
Okay, so it's like getting a key. And the attack method is that man-in-the-middle approach?
Yeah, that's what it looks like. They get between the user and the server and intercept that authentication traffic.
What's really worrying, I think, is how little the user needs to do.
That's the sneaky part. Microsoft said just selecting a malicious file, like just clicking on it once.
Not even opening it.
Not necessarily opening or running it. Even just, you know, right-clicking on it to inspect properties. In some situations, that could be enough to trigger the exploit chain.
Wow. That lowers the bar significantly for the attackers.
It really does. And we're also seeing spam email campaigns trying to leverage this. So you get an email, maybe interact with an attachment in a way you think is harmless.
And bam, you've potentially exposed your credentials.
That's the risk.
Yeah.
But there is good news here.
Okay, good. What's that?
Microsoft did patch this. The fix went out on March 11th.
Ah, so before the active exploitation was spotted.
Seems so. Yep. So if your systems have the March security updates and you're keeping up with the monthly patches since then, you should be protected from this specific attack vector.
Right. So the message is crystal clear. Patch, patch, patch. Don't ignore those updates.
Especially when something jumps from low priority
right
to actively exploited this fast. Patching is your first line of defense.
Absolutely. Okay, let's shift gears. The next one sounds, well, pretty alarming. Erlang OTP SSH.
Yeah, this one definitely got people's attention. We're talking CVE-2025-32433. And it scored a CVSS 10.0.
The maximum score. Oof.
Doesn't get higher than that. Mm-hmm. Basically, peak criticality.
So what's the big danger here?
Okay, under specific conditions, if an attacker can reach an Erlang OTP SSH server over the network,
reach it, like, just connect to it.
Yeah, network access. They can potentially execute arbitrary code on that server. And here's the kicker. Without any authentication.
Wait, no username, no password needed, just run code.
That's the finding. It's like the front door lock just doesn't engage at all sometimes.
That is incredibly bad. How does that even work, technically? What's the flaw?
It boils down to how the Erlang OTP SSH service handles some of the very first messages when a connection is trying to be set up.
The initial handshake.
Right. There's improper handling or processing of certain protocol messages. It essentially lets an attacker send specific connection protocol messages before the authentication step is supposed to happen.
So they're slipping commands in before the system asks, who are you?
That's a good way to put it. They're bypassing the bouncer, essentially.
And if they succeed, they can run any code.
Any code they want, running as the SSH service itself, the SSH daemon.
And that daemon might be running with high privileges.
Often, yes. Especially on embedded systems or servers, it might be running as root or an equivalent high privilege account, if that's the case.
The attacker gets full control of the box.
Complete control. Game over for that device.
Wow. That's a nightmare. They could steal data, deploy ransomware, use it to attack other systems.
All of the above. Ransomware deployment, massive data exfiltration, denial of service, full system compromise opens up all those possibilities.
Now, Erlang OTP, it's not like standard Windows software, right? Where is this typically used?
Good point. It's often found under the hood. It's used in a lot of back-end systems, telecommunications, but also heavily in OT operational technology, so industrial control systems.
Like factories, power grids.
Potentially, yes. Also IoT devices, edge computing platforms. And significantly, a lot of Cisco and Ericsson equipment uses Erlang.
So the potential impact zone is pretty wide, even if it's not software most end users interact with directly.
Very wide. And it includes potentially critical infrastructure and major networking gear.
I bet security teams are scrambling on this one.
Oh, absolutely. A remote, unauthenticated code execution vulnerability with root potential. That's about as serious as it gets. The potential for major disruption is real.
So what's the fix? What do people need to do now?
Patch immediately. Erlang OTP has released patched versions. OTP 27.3.3, OTP 26.2.5.FNAN1, and OTP 25.3.2.2.2.
So update the core Erlang OTP platform.
Yes. And if you're using products from vendors like Cisco or Ericsson that use Erlang, you need to be watching for their specific patches and apply those urgently.
Any temporary measures while waiting for patches?
The usual advice applies. Restrict network access. Use firewalls to limit who can even reach the vulnerable SSH service. If attackers can't connect, they can't exploit it. Mm-hmm. But patching is the real solution.
Okay. So priority one for anyone using Erlang OTP, SSH update, update, update. Don't delay.
Couldn't see it stronger. Now, the last story really brings home the real-world impact when cyber attacks hit sensitive sectors.
Yeah, this involves healthcare and a government fine.
Right. The U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, HHS, specifically their Office for Civil Rights, OCR, has fined the Guam Memorial Hospital Authority, GMHA. It's $25,000.
And this fine is linked to cyber incidents, including ransomware and potential HIPAA violations. That's IIPA, pronounced HIPAA.
Exactly. It stems from two incidents, actually. First, a ransomware attack back in December 2018.
Okay.
That one affected the electronic protected health information, EPHI, of about 5,000 people.
Patient data. And the second incident.
That was more recent, March 2023. It involved unauthorized access to the hospital's network by two former employees.
Former employees, ouch.
Yeah, and that access caused a major disruption. Nearly 100 computer systems had to be shut down temporarily.
100 systems in a hospital, that sounds incredibly disruptive. Did they lose data in that one too?
The hospital stated there wasn't evidence patient, financial, or employee data was actually tampered with or stolen in the 2023 incident. But the unauthorized access itself, plus the shutdown, that's serious.
Any impact on care?
Well, there was a report from a nurse at the hospital who said that week-long shutdown after the 2023 intrusion actually put patient lives at risk.
Wow. That really highlights the stakes. It's not just about data privacy, it's patient safety.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So why the fine? It wasn't just because they were attacked, right?
Correct. The core finding from HHS OCR was that GMHA failed to conduct an accurate and thorough risk assessment.
Meaning they didn't properly figure out where their vulnerabilities were regarding patient data?
Essentially, yes. They didn't adequately assess the risks to the confidentiality, integrity, and availability of that sensitive electronic health information. They weren't prepared.
So it's a failure of due diligence, really, not just being unlucky.
That seems to be the message. And the settlement requires a lot of corrective actions now.
Like what?
They have to conduct a proper, thorough risk analysis now and then create a risk management plan to actually fix the problems they find.
Makes sense. What else?
They need better processes for monitoring their systems, looking at audit logs, access reports, tracking security incidents properly, basically paying attention to what's happening on their network.
Keeping an eye on the shop.
Right. Plus, developing new and improved policies for HIPAA rules, privacy, security, breach notification, and crucially, better employee training on all this stuff.
Training is always key. Anything about access control, especially with that former employee incident.
Absolutely. They have to review all credentials that grant access to EPHI, and they also need to go back and do proper breach risk assessments for both the 2018 and 2023 incidents to understand the full impact.
It's a pretty comprehensive list of fixes.
It is, and HHS OCR noted this is their 11th enforcement action related just to ransomware incidents in healthcare.
11th, that's quite a few.
And get this. Over two-thirds of healthcare organizations said they were hit by ransomware last year in 2024.
Wow. Two-thirds. Healthcare is just such a massive target.
It really is. The data is valuable, and the pressure to restore services quickly after an attack is immense, which might make them more likely to pay ransoms.
And this GMHA case shows the consequences go beyond the attack itself. There are regulatory penalties and the very real risk, as that nurse pointed out, to patient safety.
It's a stark reminder for the whole sector about the need for robust, proactive security and really understanding and following those HIPAA requirements.
Absolutely. So quite a range today.
Yeah, from a sneaky NTLM exploit that went from 0 to 60.
To a critical, potentially devastating flaw in Erlang OTP SSH needing urgent patches.
And then the real-world fallout in healthcare when defenses and procedures aren't up to scratch, shown by that high HIPAA fine.
It really paints a picture, doesn't it?
Mm.
The constant need for vigilance, for timely updates, for solid security practices everywhere.
It's not just abstract tech stuff. It's about protecting data, keeping critical services running, and ultimately looking out for people.
Well said. Hopefully this deep dive gave everyone a bit more clarity on these specific issues.
We hope so, too. Keep listening to Cyber Mornings Daily. We'll keep bringing you insights into this constantly shifting cybersecurity world.
Stay safe out there.
We'll be back tomorrow with more essential updates to help you stay ahead. Thanks for tuning in.